it just seems like there's a fresh interest in Jesus. And I don't I mean, I was gonna say I don't know why. I know why people should be interested in Jesus, but I don't even totally know why Gen Z is as open as they seemingly are. I don't know if it's because they're like, man, we've seen everything else and it's not working. Jesus seems to be working for people, but there's definitely something different in Gen Z than in millennials.
What's up, guys? It's Josiah Keneally. You're listening to the Young Adults Today podcast. And hey, just want to invite all young adults ages 18 to 30 and their leaders. You can bring your young adult ministry. Join us in Minnesota this May 17th through 19th for the YA weekend. This is going to be an opportunity to gather together with hundreds of other young adults, go after God, grow in faith, grow in community. And you can find out more information when you visit www.youngadults.today/the-WKND. The link is in the show notes. You can get $10 off your registration with the promo code podcast. That's all capitals, podcast. And today's episode is presented by our friends at the Church Plant Masterclass put out by Rocket Media. Whether you maybe are a part of a church that plants other churches, you've dreamed of planting a church, or you're curious to learn more about the process, you can get 50% off of a brand new masterclass series when you head to churchplantmasterclass.com. Again, 50% off with promo code YAT50. That's YAT50. And today's conversation is going to be a lively one. We talk about reaching young adults for Christ with our guest, Nate Hilgenkamp. Check it out right here on the Young Adults Today podcast.
Happy Monday, everybody. We hope that you are doing well and staying warm, or maybe you're on a beach enjoying some amazing vacation, or maybe you find yourself in a gym and we get to join you on any and all fronts of your amazing day. So this is the Young Adults Today podcast. My name is Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts. This is where we're fanatical about the faith of the next generation. And we talk about reaching young adults for Christ in our world today. Like Micah said, new episodes drop every Monday. So we appreciate you sharing this conversation. It helps us reach more listeners with the message of Young Adults Today. And we're joined. We're going places. We're becoming people today. Joined today by Nate Hilgenkamp. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, it's so good to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, we are thrilled and so excited to have an amazing guest join us. Nope. And Josiah, for the people who don't know who Nate is yet, tell us a little bit about him and then we'll hop into his story.
If you don't know, now you know. Nate Hilgenkamp is our guest on Young Adults Today. He's a host of an amazing podcast, one of the top best podcasts in the world, Becoming Something. And he's a teaching pastor at Harris Creek Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. But he's from Minnesota. So
yes, I am right next to you guys. Y'all are in Bloomington. I'm from Eden Prairie. So we're neighbors.
I love it.
Praise God. And before we dive into, you know, an amazing conversation, just tell us why you love Minnesota sports so much.
Because we win. I mean, I've got Super Bowl victories, NBA championship victories. It's like, what is there not to love? It really is so hard. Like, I wish I could change teams. Like, I'm not in Minnesota anymore. I'm in Waco, Texas. And it's like, I just, my heart won't let me change. So it's like, I'm still Twins, Vikings, Wolves. I don't really care about the Wild that much, but I can't help it. It's just like, it's like in my blood.
That's okay. It needs to be. Waco can use a fresh color down there, maybe.
Exactly. And when we win, finally, it's going to be amazing. It'll all be worth it. So
yes, I keep saying our hashtag is maybe next year. Next year's our year.
Exactly. Except the Timberwolves. We got a shot.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do it. Let's go. We'll kick it to you. Can you just share some of your journey, how you, I mean, maybe ended up in Waco and your passion for reaching the next generation? Just share with us some of your story today.
Yeah. Yeah. So grew up in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and grew up going to a Lutheran church, actually in Bloomington, and came to know Jesus there in about sixth grade. And that church did help me direct me towards Jesus. And there was just some things that like weren't as necessarily as effective. So I kind of felt called to ministry around sophomore year, and that church would kind of play songs from the organ, and the teaching wasn't always super effective, and it was hymns, and those things just didn't necessarily like impact me or minister me. And I would just leave on Sundays going, this is so frustrating. Like, the gospel is so necessary for my friends, and this church didn't have a youth group. The services weren't centered around the next generation, and would just leave feeling really frustrated. And there was a pastor, his name's Bill Hybels. He's since no longer a pastor, had a moral failure, but he wrote a book called Holy Discontent, describing his call to ministry. And that's kind of where mine started, of just like, man, I love Jesus. I want my friends to love Jesus. It just feels like the church isn't doing anything to help my friends love Jesus. It's like almost doing the opposite. And then going into my junior year of high school, all my friends like had a radical conversion to Jesus over that summer through another church in Eden Prairie area. And they and these friends who like were wild, crazy, partying, like the friends that my parents would be like, don't hang out with, are now inviting me to church, to a different church. And I get plugged into that youth ministry. And I basically got to see it done almost perfectly. Like the way that youth ministry was run, the way that youth pastor led, Mark Warder, I was like, man, if I could just be this guy when I grow up, like, that's the dream. And just got an amazing youth ministry experience under his leadership, and just got to learn how to lead really, really well and effectively with the gospel. And then, around my senior year, I was looking at colleges all over the country, wanted to go to a Christian school because I knew I wanted to go into ministry. Kind of assumed I would go to Bethel, which is in Minnesota, but I got on campus, and my high school was like a graduating class of like 800. And I felt like Bethel was almost smaller than my high school. It just didn't seem like a great fit. So came down and toured Baylor and, enjoyed that it was bigger and a whole lot warmer. And, so showed up at Baylor, and then, never, ever thought I would stay in Waco. And now I can't really imagine leaving. Now I work at a church here in Waco, and God's done an amazing thing through our church these last few years. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Love it, man. You talk about Mark Warder, and all of us as listeners today are standing on somebody else's shoulders. We eat from gardens we didn't plant. You know, we drink from wells that we did not dig, and we're all standing on the shoulders of leaders, and mm-hmm. and they really have allowed their ceiling to become our floor. And I remember Mark Warder was a customer when I had a job at Grand Slam. And so shout out to Mark. Love that guy.
Oh man. So many fun things. And Nate, thanks for going there and sharing. I think what you kind of alluded to, your experience as a youth student, like what you experienced in a church maybe wasn't done wrong. It might not been effective to your heart in the season that you were in seeking with music and just the excitement. Like, the Bible is to be lived out, but it's also to be studied, and we're supposed to truly learn how to love it and love the Word of God and to live it out. And I think so many times, even as leaders, we can become stagnant, or as pastors, we have the ability to become stagnant, or we can just become believers and just go through the motions. And I think that for the listener today, my prayer is that they would feel a fresh wind in their sails, that they would realize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is put them on earth for such a time as this, to do incredible things, to reach the people group and the sheep that God has put before them, and to be reminded of their first love and taken back to their first love. And seeing, we come across so many young adults who become Christians in their early 20s, and they are just like on fire, and they are just excited, and they're excitable, and they want to be where the action is. And then you sometimes come across people who are like, well, I was pretty much born a Christian the moment I came out of my mom's womb, and I grew up in the church and the pew, and there's no excitement. So even our prayer as we're having this conversation is that the young adult, the leader, no matter when they actually said yes to Jesus and truly felt their faith ignited, that God would stir up that passion again and stir up that excitement to know that, oh, we have an opportunity to live and serve God in such awesome ways. And for the young adult listening, maybe, or the young adult ministry leader listening, I would just be curious to see, why do you believe that reaching the next generation and young adult ministry in this day and age is so vital?
Yeah. Well, my pastor at our church, his name's Jonathan Bakluda, and he has just a great voice to the next generation. He has a quote that says, if your church is not reaching the future, then your church has no future. because if we're not reaching the next generation, it's like, man, no one's going to be around to help other people follow Jesus in that next generation. So it's so easy to want to cater. And I'm still in the young adult phase, but it's so easy to cater to whatever you prefer. But the church just needs to learn, and I think is learning now, that we need to be like intentionally reaching the next generation, because things aren't going all that well. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, we're also seeing, I think right now, something going on in Gen Z where there's a greater awareness to Jesus than potentially my generation and millennials, and excitement for Jesus. But if you're not interested in reaching the next generation, then it wouldn't even make any sense to me. I don't know what the reason for that would be. We should care about youth ministries and young adult ministries and college ministries, because those are going to be the future leaders of the church. So, it matters a lot.
So good.
Agree completely. And the listener, they're trying to park their life at the intersection of 18 to 30 years old, because so many of them, maybe that's where God met them, mm-hmm. and their faith yeah. became their own. And I think that similarly, like, it's our turn. It's a great group to invest in. And this question's off script, but I know from being a listener of Becoming Something and just following your pastor, your church, talk about your thoughts of living an unboring Christian life.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways my life looks boring. It's like, man, I just go home from work and serve my wife and serve my kids, and then get them down to sleep at 7:15, and then I'm just exhausted. And it's like, on the outside, you think that's boring. That's not the only thing I do, but it's like, when you're actually living it, it's not even necessarily what you do, it's why you're doing these things. So it's like, man, my heart is filled with so much mission when I'm getting coffee with a young adult, or when I'm serving my kids, or when I'm trying to serve my wife, when I'm preaching from a stage. It's not necessarily what it is, but it's the why I'm doing it. And just having the gospel like inform every single thing I do, it does allow me to take risks, to have hard conversations, to do hard things, just with the confidence of like, man, even if this thing fails, even if we start a podcast and no one listens, it's JP always says, you can't determine obedience by the outcome. So it's not how something happens that you can determine whether or not it was the right thing to do. You just want to do the right thing, and whether or not it succeeds or not, man, you leave that up to God. So I think thinking about John 6, at the end of John 6, Jesus, a bunch of disciples leave Jesus, and then Jesus turns to his 12 disciples and he goes, are you going to leave me too? And Peter goes, or where else would we go? And that's how I feel with Jesus. It's like, man, I don't even know where else I would go, because he has the most fulfilling life to offer, whether it looks like you're going on an exciting mission trip to the other side of the world, or just going home to fucking kids. Like, he can make it all. He can do more than you can ask or imagine through whatever you're doing.
I love that. Beautiful. And even through the mundane things that people would view as, oh, you go home, you cook, you clean, you get the kids ready for bed. Like, yeah. Those are the things, those aren't the highlight reels of life, but that's where the character of our development is learning how to be gritty, learning how to love every moment, because every moment goes so quickly. Every season that we live is so fleeting. And when you truly think of the impact that we have, or the ability that we have to live life each and every single day, like, we are just a little blip on the radar when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
But there will be a day that we come face to face with God and have to answer for everything he's put before us. Like, was there immediate obedience? Was there stewardship? Was there an opportunity to say yes, and did we actually do that? And I think one thing that Josiah and I have a deep conviction of is not only parking at the intersection of young adult ministry of the 18 to 30 year old when they're navigating all the questions of life, but it is to come alongside those young adults who might not have a home, might not have a parent, might not have any form of stability, and create opportunities for them through church, community, conversations, and just even around our table. Like, that's our conviction of, like, how do we create opportunities for young adults to taste and experience a tangible God? And with that question that I'm going to pose right now, it might ruffle some feathers of some listeners, but a majority of our listeners are young adult ministry pastors. But I would just be so curious, just what you've seen or what you've come across. Why do we not see more young adult ministries in the local church? Why do we not see more pastors or lead pastors or people create opportunities for young adults to be invited to the table of the church, to the table of a young adult ministry specifically designed for them? Because the young adults that we get to serve and we've come across, essentially what they're saying is, what about us? I'm no longer 18. I don't fit the mold of youth. I was a glorified youth leader and now I'm 25. I'm not married. I can't find my place in the Big C church. Where do I go? So what do you have to say about that? Or what have you seen and how that's maybe not the case. Not every church has a young adult ministry or maybe has the opportunity to even have that.
For sure. Yeah. I think one thing is I think a lot of churches don't have the sheer number of young adults at their church. So they're looking at their church body and they're like, man, we've got all these adults that need to be cared. Or yeah. I mean, 30s, 40s, families, that's the majority of our church. So they need to be cared for. And then we got the youth ministry, and then we've got kids and like, they need to be cared for. And then we've got this small handful of young adults and they're like, man, I don't know if we can, looking at our budget, if we can actually afford to have a youth pastor or not a youth pastor, a young adult pastor oversee this ministry that would seemingly be small. And it's kind of that question of like the chicken or the egg. Do you hire someone and then the ministry grows, or do you see that amount of young adults in that church and then you hire a pastor for it? I think young adults are looking for a place to go in order to start showing up there. But and then the second thing might be I think a lot of pastors didn't have necessarily that young adult season in their life. People are getting married later and later, and it just looks different than let's just imagine a 6-year-old senior pastor at a church. He may have gotten married at 22 and then just moved into that next season earlier than what certain young adults are right now. So the average age of getting married is closer to like 28, 29. Mm-hmm. So they're like, why don't you guys just get married and get into an adult life group when they're like, but I'm not. So I don't feel like I'm in that next stage. So meet me where I'm at rather than just ask me to be in a different stage where I'm not. And I might want to be in that spot, but I'm not yet already. So I think it's from leadership having a hard time maybe understanding where those young adults are and just having a hard time deciding, hey, do we hire a staff? But before that ministry even seems large enough to have one. So those are kind of the two things I think about.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, for sure. And I just think that what I see is as the average age of a senior pastor begins to increase, what I'm noticing right now is mm-hmm. that a lot of their kids are becoming young adults.
Yeah.
When a crowd or a category, a demographic, if you will, of like, oh, okay, the young adults, when it's out there and it's a category, it's a demographic, it's a research study, it's a statistic, that's pretty impersonal. Mm-hmm. When it's your kids or your grandkids yeah. or it's in your house, it moves from categorical to personal. And I think that makes a huge shift, a huge difference. And what I'd say, if I could, to challenge a lead pastor listening, if you're like, man, we can't hire someone, I think some of the greatest young adult ministries on the planet are led by volunteers. Mm-hmm. I remember being 22 years old. My pastor gave me a shot. He said, start a small group, see what happens. And it became yeah. a full-fledged young adult ministry, a network of small groups, and just the Spirit of God moved. But I think that if we can do the Ephesians 4 model of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, laying your hands on somebody and just saying, man, fan in the flame, the gift yeah. that God's given you, we're with you, we're in this together.
Yeah.
We're going to go low. We're going to be humble. We're going to try some things. It's going to be an experiment, but you know what? We're going to be obedient and we'll leave the outcomes to God. I just think that kind of like a movie Field of Dreams, if you feed them, they will come. If you build it, create a table space where young adults are welcome. It might be 6 in your community. That's amazing. Yeah. It might be 12 around a table. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage you to those ends. And Nate, something you mentioned right out of the chute is that you sense a hunger in Gen Z. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really been crazy. I mean, we're starting with Asbury a year ago. It's like, man, God's doing something unique. And then I was just kind of like, okay, let's see what happens from here. And I think we've seen things continue to happen. There were other revivals that popped up in other schools around that same time with Asbury, but then Passion this year in January felt like there was a unique shift. And then I don't know if you guys have any idea what's going on, like in like Auburn and the fall. Yeah. I mainly that because my pastor's kind of involved with that. He spoke at in Auburn, was one of the speakers there. Really like a massive revival. They weren't planning on having baptisms, but
spontaneous. Once people
came forward to that, yeah, spontaneous baptism. They go over to this pond on campus and baptize a bunch of people. Then they out of that one event at Auburn, they've started a ministry called Unite. And they had another event at Florida State on Friday night. And they're like, man, we don't really know what's going to happen. Had people come to the basketball arena. And then again, had a bunch of people come forward. I think 500 to 1,000 people come forward saying they accept Jesus. And then they went to this fountain on campus just this last Friday night, baptized like hundreds of people.
My gosh.
And now they're going to go to LSU and Georgia. And they've got a couple others slated as well. And it's like, man, this stuff didn't happen when I was in school. I wasn't hearing about this stuff. It just seems like there's a fresh interest in Jesus. And I don't know why. I know why people should be interested in Jesus, but I don't even totally know why Gen Z is as open as they seemingly are. I don't know if it's because they're like, man, we've seen everything else and it's not working.
Mm.
Jesus seems to be working for people, but there's definitely something different in Gen Z than in millennials. And it's happening right now on college campuses all around the country. So
I notice there's a wave of, I mean, call it revival. I don't know the right language, but there's a wave of just this spiritual hunger, a fervor that just seems to be sweeping college campuses. Like mm-hmm. you talk about it, and our heart just lights up, whether it's at the U of M or Normandale Community College or North Central University or any college campus. I just sense that the potential is palpable. To take a field trip, if you're a leader, I mean, mm-hmm. man, I heard this, a guy named Clarence St. John told me this, probably 22, 23, starting ministry. He said, if you don't have a burden for your city, go park by the population sign until you cry.
Mm. Yeah.
And when he said that, I was just like, we live in Bloomington. There's like 86,000 people here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then I Googled how many young adults are in the Twin Cities. And I mean, for me, my heart has broke in Minnesota, in North Dakota, and I pray that God keeps the burden fresh of when I see that historically the college campus has become the devil's playground. What I just believe and declare, Nate, is I just mm-hmm. believe that every campus can be adopted. I think that students can prayer walk their campus, circle in prayer, mm-hmm. Just like Joshua at the walls of Jericho, like Mark Batterson writes about praying circles around what you want to see fall. And I just think that every college campus can be adopted, prayed for, and that fires me up. Thanks for talking about Gen Z.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
I believe in that.
I love that. Nate, when it comes to like just young adult ministries and the discipleship efforts, what are you finding in that process of the emerging adults and how can they thrive? Like, what are you seeing? What are you finding? How have you been able to serve some of those individuals?
What I'm seeing is they have so many questions and a lot of questions that are going unanswered. So, and maybe that's specifically because there's not a young adult pastor at their church or because the sermons at their church aren't thinking about the questions that they're asking. But we get questions from people just because of the reach of becoming something from all over the country. And they're asking all these questions. And I'm kind of like, man, why are you asking me? Like, ask your pastor. But apparently they just don't feel like their leadership is seeing what's going on in their life or cares about what's going on in their life. So young adults have all these questions about all these different things. And I think one of the ways that becoming something and JP's ministry has specifically been able to help young adults is because we just talk about what young adults want to talk about, whether it's dating, alcohol, should you live with your boyfriend, girlfriend, like is smoking weed a sin? Like all these things that maybe they're not hearing from their pastor. It's like, man, we'll talk about anything. So we get people that send in questions about whatever, and we just want to talk about whatever young adults want to hear from, and then not just give our opinions, but direct them towards scripture and say, here's what scripture says. We believe that scripture is going to be the path that leads you to life. So I think that's what we've seen as effective. We're just listening to young adults and what they're trying to find answers to in life, and then we're showing them those answers in scripture.
Love it. Resonates with our heart so much. And I think our fear a little bit would be if young adults checked out and said, you know what, the questions that I'm asking, nobody's really answering. Yeah. And the answers that are being presented are the questions I'm not asking.
Yeah.
And I would love to know this. People are asking questions every Friday to your pastor. They're sending DMs to Becoming Something. This has been a podcast that has just resonated deeply with young adults and the faith of the next generation. What have you learned specifically hosting, having these conversations the past number of years on Becoming Something? What's that journey been like for you? What have you learned from being asked so many questions?
I mean, I feel like I've learned so much from that, the whole 5 years we've been doing it. JP came to our church as our lead pastor 5 years ago, and he's like, Nate, we're going to start a podcast. You figure out how to do it, which is hilarious because I know nothing about technology or podcasts or microphones or whatever, and put it together. And we started recording our first episode, and I was talking, and I was like, and I was just assuming everyone who was listening was just going to be like these five people who are at our church and talking about what's going on in Waco. And he's like, hey, stop recording. I was like, what's going on? He's like, hey, let's not just believe that the people at our church are going to listen. Let's have faith that this podcast is going to impact people from all across the globe. And I'm like, wow, that would be awesome. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. You're coming from Dallas. We got a big ministry. You came to Waco. No one cares about what's going on in Waco. And God has done more than we could even ask or imagine through it. So first I've learned, man, I would rather err towards having big faith that God can do big things because he can. And then another thing that I've just learned in the process is there's really three of us on the podcast, myself, JP, and then Kathy, who used to be on staff. She now continues on with the podcast. She's got four kids. So that's her primary job now.
That's a lot of kids.
It is a lot of kids. It is a lot. And when we started recording, we it kind of was just like three pastors talking, all giving our opinions. And we've kind of learned that I do play more of like a role on the podcast of just trying to ask the questions that young adults are asking. So I will ask questions like I disagree with what JP's saying. And then people will come in and visit Harris Creek and I'll preach, and they'll be like, man, wasn't really sure you even knew Jesus, but I'm so encouraged now that I've heard you preach. But just playing a role of, not that I have all the answers, because I do not, but just playing the role of, what do young adults want to hear? And I get myself in that mindset and ask that to JP. And then another thing that I think we've learned is we try to have a lot of fun on the podcast, and people seem to resonate with that they enjoy it. They learn something, they laugh, they have fun. And I've just learned through podcasts that people feel like they are friends with you, even though you've never met, just because they're listening to this podcast right now, as they're doing the dishes, as they're driving down the road. And as you release an episode every single Monday, like, you're just in their life. So podcasts have a unique ability to impact people because of the relatability aspect of it. It's different from a sermon. It just feels like you're in the room talking with people.
Sure.
I love that. I love that you guys are able to have the deep, meaningful conversations while having fun in it, because I think, so Josiah and I are both millennials. And I think my upbringing, I was raised in a Baptist church. My mom was Catholic. My dad was Lutheran, you know? So it's like, you have all these different approaches of how to do ministry. And inside of me, I have all these questions of like, is this for this day and age? Do I believe in this? What does the word of God say? I'm experiencing these things. How do I pray out loud? So it's like, even you guys are coming alongside young adults who are just like, back to the basics, people. Like, how do we fill in the blank? And I think that you guys have just done such an amazing job. And you do bring a fun banter, a playfulness with it. And it's so fun to see. And I think we have some friends that used to be like in the local news and on on the evening weather channels, the news and all those sports things every single night. So it's like when you sit down and you watch the news, you feel like you know that person on the screen.
Yeah.
And I think it's what podcasting has become. Like, I know Mike and Josiah, I know Nate and I know JP. Well, you might not physically be in proximity with, you know, people like that, but hopefully we can be approachable when people do see us on the streets to know like, yep,
yeah,
I do join your house, but I've never actually been in yours.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, that we have an influence and we have the ability to stay in tune with God and stay in tune with the culture of the questions that young adults are asking. So for the listener today, what is a hope that you have for the listener today, whether they're tuning into this podcast or any future podcasts that you have done or any past podcasts? Like, what is your hope for the listener and who do you hope that they become in the process?
Well, I hope they become like Jesus. Like that's the goal. Like our podcast is called Becoming Something. Every single day you're becoming something, you're becoming someone, and really you're either becoming more like Jesus or you're not becoming more like Jesus. So my hope is that they become more and more like Jesus every single day. And that's through doing life in community, doing life by pursuing God through his word, through pursuing God through prayer, through just tossing aside everything in your life that's hindering you, whether that's Instagram, Netflix, whatever, like just toss aside everything else and pursue Jesus with your whole heart, mind, and strength. So that would be my hope for them, because that's my hope for me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you just said there, Nate, it makes me so curious, because there's talks of a guy in scripture who could have been the 13th disciple, but he was unwilling to give up some things.
Oh yeah.
And I think that, man, what you just said in Instagram, Netflix, whatever it is, what do you think the greatest challenge is? Maybe it's things that we're unwilling to give up, or maybe it's just ideals. It could be anything, but what do you see as the greatest challenges facing the next generation of young adults in 2024?
The first thing that comes to mind is like dating and then / pornography. So it's like pornography is just eating the lunch of young adults. I think it's well known that it's that males are like getting destroyed with pornography, but like the numbers are shocking, at least for some people, are shocking in terms of females as well. It's like pornography is so accessible and it's become so normalized and it's so screwing us up. Mm-hmm. Like we're just training ourselves for divorce. The more and more you just get used to watching different people and partaking in something that is outside of God's design, like that specifically is one of the number one things. Just dating, like I think people, the older you get, the lower your standards become, and that's just not how it should be. Like it is so hard to be single when you don't want to be single. But one pitfall that I see is that young adults get older and they assume, okay, well, I guess I just need to lower my standards. They don't need to necessarily follow Jesus. Maybe I can date them and we can get things figured out once we have kids or whatever. And it's like, that only leads to a downfall. I've also seen alcohol more and more just especially in the young adult scene, it's just like become normalized. Like, man, get drunk on Saturday, show up to church on Sunday. And maybe that's more the case in Waco than it is in Minnesota, but it's like just normalizing sin, and that's hindering them. And then also like just the pursuit of your career before your pursuit of Jesus. Like you'll do whatever to get that promotion. And sometimes that's coming in the way of you spending time in God's word. Like you're spending all your time thinking about your job and you're not spending nearly as much time thinking about God's word or serving in the local church. So those are a few of the things I've seen kind of hold young adults back.
And Nate, just even thinking about it, like they're all so interwoven, right? And yeah. I think we talk to so many young adults. I'm like, I'm trying to find a people group. I'm trying to find my people in the workplace. And then they go, they get the workplace going, they get their education, they get their career rolling, and then it's happy hour. And it's like, well, I don't have any friends, so I'm going to go out with these people. And then all of a sudden this night turns into a drunken night. And then it turns into a one night stand that turns into an ungodly relationship. And then it turns into, I can save them. And I'm going to drag them to church now that we might be on the same page someday. So there is a huge correlation in all these things. And I think Oh, it just makes my heart happy that we get to serve a young adult ministry and people that say, I want God, I want community, and I want, like, I want all that he has for me, and I want to get plugged into a local church. And
relationships are like your jam. They're like your favorite topic. They're not only young adults' favorite topic. I've watched the past number of years being married to Micah. She wrote a Worth the Wait journal helping put Christ back at the center of relationships. And we've seen thousands of young adults and future marriages impacted just by praying, mm-hmm. reading God's word, fasting, journaling, presenting this journal mm-hmm. to a future spouse on the night of our wedding. Micah will preach and teach on relationships with college students often. And I've watched her stand in line for 3 hours mm-hmm. as girls just wait to come up and share their story or just to say thank you for sharing yours. And yeah. I mean, what you said about pornography, there's freedom. And I just mm-hmm. think if there's a leader that's listening and maybe that's eating your lunch, yeah. I just go, my goodness, there is help. There is hope. Yeah. There is healing. There is freedom. And I look at it this way. A lot of times people believe a myth and a lie that as soon as I get married, this pornography addiction will go away or my sex drive will be completely fulfilled. And
yeah.
I just go, man, everything we do, Nate, it's practice for the future. It's if it's sleeping around and viewing pornography and singleness or in dating, I mean, that's practice mm-hmm. for infidelity in marriage. If it's, I think why God has us wait for marriage, for intimacy and sex, I think it's for practice for a lifetime of sexual purity mm-hmm. and people probably forget that because they're yeah. hearing the wrong message. They're believing a lie.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's exactly. Right. Yeah. And like you said, yeah, you're training yourself for marriage. I don't know about you guys, but me and my wife, we're not having sex every single day. So yeah, whenever you're training yourself for pornography, you're training your body to say, anytime I have an urge, it needs to be met. Whenever mm-hmm. you get married, anytime you have an urge, it's not going to be met. So yeah, you're setting yourself up for massive disappointment and massive failure.
Oh my yeah. goodness. And we've just benefited from in our marriage, a resource called Covenant Eyes. We'll link in the show notes to just because I didn't know we were going to talk about that, but that popped up. If you're looking yeah. for freedom and hope and tools and accountability partners, I would just say practically get Covenant Eyes on your devices. And if maybe it's Netflix or a streaming service, we were just talking about this, mm-hmm. like, we don't have any account that both of us don't have access to, whether it's a bank account or whether it's a login or a mm-hmm. password. And I think that maybe it's media or shows mm-hmm. that you're watching. I just think that that's like super practical. Have your accountability partner be able to see what movies you were watching last night. And anyway, I know that that got heavy. And we didn't intend for it to be, but I think that the Holy Spirit can guide.
Good.
And so we'll just put some links to resources in the show notes. But mm-hmm. Nate, thanks for going there, man.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to go somewhere else where it's probably a little more fun, like a kind of like a home run derby. Are you ready for the 5 and 5 challenge?
Absolutely. I'll do whatever.
All right, Nate, here we go. Here's question number one. What is on your heart for young leaders right now?
That care less about your Instagram followers and your platform than just being obedient to whoever God has in front of you right now. It's so easy to look at all these quote unquote successful people in ministry who've got this huge following and they're speaking in front of 10,000 people and be like, okay, I have to do that. Like, that's what faithfulness is going to look like. Faithfulness might look like you having coffee with these two guys every single week for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that's just as faithful. That's not like more obedient than someone speaking on a space to 10,000 people. So I would just say, man, have a stranglehold on what you believe God has called you to do, and then just put your nose down and do it faithfully day after day after day after day without looking around and seeing how other people are gifted and they're doing better things and bigger things. It's like, no, God made them to do that, and God made you to do whatever you're doing right now, and one is not more valuable than the other. So I would just tell them to do that. Know who God's made them to be, and then be faithful within that.
Oh my gosh, quick thought on that is, had coffee with a friend of ours. I think he's like 26 years old. He was a part of our young adult ministry. He's about to have his fifth kid.
Wow.
doing some just amazing things with his life, following Jesus, doing spoken word. But the coolest thing that I heard him say that he's doing is 2 hours every Tuesday, he's visiting the assisted living facility in his community, and he's pastoring elders. He's pastoring people who can't make it to church on Sundays. And when I heard he was doing that, I was like, man, I know so many young leaders who want the mic. They want reps. They want, there's a fire in their belly. And I don't discount that at all. Like, I think Jeremiah had a fire in his belly that he would have been disobedient if he wouldn't have gotten it out. But I think that if you feel like John Wesley, that the pulpits of England are close to you, I'd just say, I don't think that there's a lot of kids ministries that would say no to somebody who wants to teach God's word. If you can find a Sunday school class to teach or an assisted living facility to be a chaplain at, man, go where no one else.
Wesley found the open fields.
True.
Yep. Yeah, our pastor told me early on, he's like, Nate, if you get more excited to teach to 1,000 people than to 10 people, your excitement isn't coming from what you're teaching, but the amount of people you're teaching to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be motivated and excited to teach God's word, not to teach God's word to a ton of people. Like, I should just say yes, whether it's the kids ministry to 5 smelly kids who don't want to listen or 5,000 people, like the excitement should be, man, I get to bring God's word. So.
Wow.
So good.
What about outside of, you know, you mentioned marriage, parenting, ministry. If you get 4 hours of free time, what's a hobby that you're hanging out with?
I don't, but yeah.
In a perfect world, if you could.
Yeah, that'd be great. In 20 years, my girls are in college. I'd love to golf. That would be awesome. Go to a coffee shop and read. Like, both of those things would be great. Or go on a walk with my wife. Like, those three things would be awesome, and not happening as much right now, but they will at some point. But
how old are your kids? You said girls. How many girls do you have?
Yeah. One's almost 3 and then one's 4 months old. So we're still like, we're in the newborn toddler stage. So
we have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old daughter. So 2 and 3.
Oh, awesome.
So,
that's great.
Girl dads. There you go.
Well, being a girl dad is the best.
Oh my.
Yes. It really is.
All right. Yeah. Here's the curveball. If you could ask Josiah and I any question under the sun, what would you ask us today? Ministry related, not ministry related, anything.
Yeah. Why in the world do you live in Minnesota? It's so cold there. There are other places you can live. Places where it's like, man, people know Jesus in Texas. It's warm in Texas. There's better food in Texas. Like, what are you guys doing?
Oh, you want to go first?
Man, I mean, we've had other calls, other potential assignments, other opportunities, I guess, not even things that we've pursued, just like there's been out of state offers in warmer places.
Yeah.
God is doing something special. We feel like I was born and raised here. Micah was born and raised in North Dakota. Her answer might be different than mine, so I'll keep mine short. But Nate, dude, I watched a decade ago as very few churches in Minnesota had anything going on for young adults. March 1st and 2nd, a couple weeks away, we'll have, I don't know, man, 70 or so leaders who represent young adult ministries and churches from this area. And God is moving. We do a weekend in May 17th through 19th, and there will be hundreds of young adults. And I think that I think God's clearly placed us here, and it's our joy. It's our assignment. We love it.
Oh man. I would say I have Kevin McAllister syndrome. I need a Christmas tree. It needs to be a white Christmas. So yeah, I actually enjoy the 4 seasons. Like, I love spring is always so much fun here. We always have some fun during the summer months where it was like 90s all summer. So like, we do get the heat and we do get the cold. But fall here is like 4 months of just like pumpkin spice lattes and corn mazes and just fun, friendly activities. There's a land, we're the land of 10,000 lakes. You can find a lake anywhere and do anything. If you want to swim, hike, bike, kayak,
cold plunge,
you can do cold plunge, ice fish. You can do it all. And then winter, I just love a white winter. So I would say I love the 4 seasons, but we also love to travel. So anytime we do travel, we travel somewhere warm, whether that's Arizona, whether that's like a Colorado, California or Florida. I think those are some of our top picks to enjoy somebody else's weather and Can't bring it home. You can't shovel sunshine. Okay, we get to shovel snow.
Right. Exactly. I understand, although I disagree, but that's fine. We need God's people everywhere. So
we had somebody on our podcast, I think it was from Texas, who said, if you ever see us out in your front yard, just rolling around in your grass, it's because we get that nasty thick grass and you guys have the nice grass in Minnesota. Who was that? David Martin.
Oh yeah, totally. No, Minnesota grass is like real grass. Down here is just, it's like weeds. I mean,
the crab grass here kind of.
Yeah.
So we have decent grass, I guess. I don't know. It made me laugh. Right. Anyway, question number four. I digress.
If you could drive to Minnesota, 35, head north. No, I take it back.
I hate that drive so much. Kansas and Iowa, it's horrible. Oklahoma. Yeah,
it's a haul.
If you could take the fam on a road trip and go somewhere, where would you go and what snack would we find in your car?
See, Waco just feels so far from anywhere like cool to drive to, but we'd probably drive to there's a place called Orange Beach, Alabama. It's on the coast, which is like 10 hours away, which is a long drive. Seems like a long drive to me. So that's probably where we'd go. We go there typically about once a summer. And then probably like a Cliff Bar or something like that. That's probably what I'd go with.
Good stuff.
All right. So last and final question. Maybe we'll find you at Orange Beach. I write down people's destinations because we're always up for a good beach somewhere. Yeah. If you could leave the listener with one piece of encouragement today, what would you want to leave them with?
I think I'd go back to don't determine obedience by the outcome. Like just get really almost addicted to being obedient. Like your high is out of the obedience. It's not out of the, I did this and then 200 people showed up. Or I did this and then it was awesome. It's like, no, I did this and I just felt obedience to Jesus. Like I shared the gospel at the grocery store and that person didn't even accept Jesus. And I'm still so excited because I'm like, I get in my car and I'm like, I followed Jesus well today. And I got in the word today and it didn't necessarily speak to me directly, but I still was obedient. So if you can just learn to get that high off of obedience and not necessarily the outcome, it's going to change your walk with Jesus. Because you also will get to see different things where your obedience will lead to different outcomes than you would have experienced otherwise.
I think that's awesome.
You just said something that makes me go into overtime. You talked about gospel conversations and sharing the gospel. And we lead a nonprofit ministry. We worked at a church and on a college campus. So I have to like be prayerful and intentional about seeking out people who don't know Jesus. And any thoughts on that? Just one last question of just like, man, sharing the gospel and looking for those opportunities. Encourage us that way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I don't know if this is like a personality thing or a sin thing, but I don't lean in that direction. I don't have that gift of evangelism necessarily. And that can't be an excuse to not do it because there are people who don't know Jesus who we believe are dying. Like they're the walking dead, don't know Jesus, are without hope, and they need hope. And we have it. So it's like, why would we not share that? I think we believe a couple of lies. Like one, I need to say the right thing. Two, people are going to get mad and like be offended. And it's like, man, sometimes it lands and they don't really care or listen. And sometimes they'll start crying because they're like, I have no hope. You're right. And it's not all about what you say. Like the Holy Spirit will guide and direct your conversation, as you're prayerful with it. But, all of us encounter people all the time. We just need to have eyes to see, whether it's the person giving you a haircut, the person waiting your table at a restaurant. Just anyone you encounter, having a conversation. And my pastor's taught me to three questions. Hey, do you have a faith? Just open up that conversation. Did you grow up in church? If it's yes, you say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? Most people do not say 10. They say something like 7. And then you say, hey, if God was to say, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And most people say, because I've done good things. That ain't getting you in. Mm-hmm. So then you get to enter into the gospel of we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, so no one can boast. Like, I have not done enough good things to get into heaven. You have not done enough good things to get into heaven. We're saved because Jesus came and died for us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We're no longer under the law, but under grace. And that's kind of the framework for how I've learned to share the gospel. So
yeah, I think one thing, this is, we're going super over time, I think, but one thing a local author said, her name's Susie Larson, and this kind of just really changed maybe the posture of my heart to the approach of evangelism. I'm not like the biggest one out on the streets, you know, yelling from the tops either, but I'm like, wow, we have the best thing that they could ever be offered. And it's not us, but it is relationship with Jesus. And she says something along the lines, like, earth is the closest thing the non-believer is going to get to heaven.
Yeah.
And for the believer, earth is as bad as it's ever going to get, because heaven is our home. And I think when we can start like realizing like, wow, this is, earth is our hell. Like truly, as a believer in this day and age, earth is our hell. We only have something great to look for. The non-believer walking earth, this is their heaven, and it's only going to get worse. So why would I not put myself out there? And I think the Bible verse that kind of spurs me on in those moments is, it comes from Jesus himself. If they deny you, it's because they denied me first. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, if they deny me, it's not that they're denying me. It's you in me. And they're just not ready to hear it, not ready to receive it, but that's up to them. And I was obedient, and I'm not going to walk away wondering what if, you know, you walk away like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. Lord, it's in your hands.
Totally. And previous generations, they could kind of rely on, oh, those people will probably end up at church at some point because church is the thing you're supposed to do. People aren't just like wandering into church anymore because they feel like they need to.
Right.
They're not going to go to church. So if they're not going to go to hear the gospel, how are they ever going to hear the gospel? Like, you better cross your fingers and hope they've got a family member who's going to share with them. But like, if how are they going to hear if someone doesn't tell them? So
100%.
I'm inspired, challenged, motivated by that, because as we think about heaven and hell and eternity, I heard this quote, don't know who said it, but something along the lines of, the fascinating thing about both heaven and hell is no one in either place believes they got what they deserved.
Yeah. Right.
And I mean, I'll tell you and the listener and anybody who wants to know, a hobby I have is baseball cards. Got into it about a year and a half ago. And right now, I've been amazed at how many people who've maybe bought or sold or traded a card with, and I've been able to share the gospel. And it's like, I'm meeting up with somebody from Marketplace, and I'm praying like, Lord, I pray that you use this conversation to let them hear about Jesus. And so I think God can use anything, anyone. The gospel's for everyone, everywhere. But Nate, I'm fired up about talking about Gen Z, young adult ministry, the faith of the next generation, evangelism. Thanks for your time today, man.
Absolutely. My joy.
This is the Young Adults Today podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe. That way you'll never miss a thing. And if you enjoy streaming or listening or watching the Young Adults Today Leader podcast, I have a hunch that you will benefit from a couple other resources. The first is our Facebook community called Young Adult Ministry Leaders. That link is in the show notes in the episode description, where you can join a community of 2,700 other young adult ministry leaders across the globe. The second, we have coaching communities launching this April, designed for you to grow as a lifelong learner with other next gen pastors, young adult ministry leaders, and campus missionaries from across the country, where the link is in the show notes. You can click on coaching communities. The last is, we have a 3-book bundle, Reaching the Next, Next Gen Now, and Equip the Saints are our Young Adults Today resource book bundle, where these are great for bringing your board, your staff, your small group, or your leadership team. There's discussion guides, and really you can learn from 13 ways to engage young adults, equipping and understanding engaging young adults, and then raising up an army in the next generation. These books are available individually or in the book bundle when you visit youngadults.today. Thanks so much. We'll see you next episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. I'm all wired up right now. Plug me in. I'm getting charged up right now. Yeah.